Music right there from Lung, from their latest album, All the King's Horses, here on Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WYSO. I'm Juliet Frumholt with you from now until 11 o'clock. So happy to welcome our next guests into the studio. They're getting ready to release their album on March 12th. They've got a new single coming out this week, and we'll tell you how you can celebrate the release with them up in Columbus. But first, we're going to hear some live music from our guests. They are Ghost Soul Trio. Take it away, you guys.
Of another life, stare at space. Walls that peel underneath the light, like waterfalls. Across the bridge that is meant to burn, you try and scream. Frequencies that are never heard. Thank you. with a look of disbelief. They stare down from their thrones. All we've seen and all we've been through is nothing compared to what they know. I've seen heartbreak written on my cheek, carved beneath my eyelids, staring at the veins that hide themselves, that appear while I'm not watching, until now when I've nowhere else to look. If you wanted the whole world, we'd have me laid at your throne. All we've seen will fade to darkness, but nothing compares being alone. I've seen heartbreak all around me, but it's all a joke.
Ghost Soul Trio, live on Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WYSL. Welcome, you guys. I'm so happy to have you here.
Thank you. We're happy to be here.
My pleasure, my pleasure. So how was it that the three of you came together and started making music?
It's a long kind of story, but it's not that long. Not too long to tell.
Complicated, but not long, maybe?
I don't know. Not even that. We all went to the same high school, but like never knew each other when we went to the same high school. Mm-hmm. And then we all moved to Columbus for separate reasons and sort of came together there through that connection. Like, oh, we like all went to the same high school. That's the short version.
And thus a band was born.
Yeah. But Joe, who plays drums, he's here. But you can't see him if you're listening. I'm in another band, and Joe was recording and like doing some production for my other band, and at the time he was kind of just working on producing some stuff of his own, and he asked if I was interested in singing on it, and I said yes, and we made like an EP, brought Nate on to play some bass, and then it sort of became a lot more collaborative from there.
And you were like, oh hey, it's a band now. Yeah. This is a thing.
Yeah.
Cool. So kind of going from that initial like, hey, we have this thing in common. Okay, let's start playing together. One of the things that I was really impressed by in your music when I first heard you guys was the level of arrangement that's happening in there. Was that something that was always the intent from the start, or did that happen kind of when the three of you really got together and started making music? How did that come about?
That's kind of the type of music we all like writing individually, and I think the live band aspect for us definitely came after the writing and arranging. Like, we kind of just write and record whatever we want and then figure out how to play it live.
Nice.
After. Yeah. 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 That's the most fun way for us to do it. So.
Yeah, I feel like the arrangement definitely has always come first, especially on this new album that we are about to put out, it was pretty much all just like one of us would send a demo to like our email or like our band email or like our group chat and be like, how's this? And then the other two would be like, yes or eh. And then we would all kind of like later that day recirculate that demo with each other's parts on it and be like, okay, well, this is either going to be a song or we don't need to work on this anymore. And the songs went through like a lot of changes. Most of them did.
So, some of the songs had, I think, 3 or 4 different versions. There were a couple songs that we spent months on and then just scrapped completely. There were others that came together in a weekend. So
kind of all over the place process-wise.
Yeah, definitely.
But to answer the question shortly, yeah, arranging is definitely like the bigger part of the process for us.
Oh, he's coming over.
In terms of recording the actual album, so you said, you know, you kind of record demos and circulate them. Did you do the album yourself, or did you actually go into a studio to create that?
A lot of these songs we recorded. We recorded 4 songs at Capital University, one of which we didn't end up using. But most of the album was recorded in our basement.
Nice.
Yeah, and mixed in our basement.
It's not a great basement, we should add.
No, it's not. It's like a dank, dark
dungeon.
It's a bad basement. Yeah. Not furnished or like finished or it's bad.
It's a house that...
someone help us.
it's a house that we're renting, and it's near campus.
Yeah,
so
there used to be a cult that lived in our house.
True story, kind of.
I mean, sometimes you need those spaces for the, you know, there's some creative energy there that you can really pull out of those... out of those dark, dank, cult-infested spaces.
Yeah. It's inspiring, really.
You know. I am always curious, when you're doing your own recordings and you are, you know, really, really experimenting with that lush sound, that highly arranged sound, how do you know when something's done? Because I would have the temptation to just like keep going and layering and adding and being really precious about it, but how do you make that decision, like, okay, the song is ready?
We we never did. We at one point we were like, we're just gonna keep doing this until we die unless we set a deadline. So we pretty much were like, all right, we have enough songs but we keep changing them, let's choose this date, this is when we're gonna try to release the album. So using that, we were like, okay, this one's good. We know it's good. We just need to stop critiquing it, you know?
Yeah.
But they went through like many, many stages of that. Like, oh, maybe we should just add this, this, and this. And I feel like we also, like all three of us know what we think a good song sounds like in our own heads. So like, and it's like slightly different for each of us, I think. So when we would bounce that off each other, like when Joe would send a mix and, you know, we would be like, yeah, this is really good, and he would be like, I don't know, this one thing is kind of off, we would be that sort of like
the check
forced to like bring it back to like, okay, no, it's gonna be okay, the happy medium between like perfectionism and this song is actually very good and we just need to accept that it's gonna be done now.
Yeah, I think another good thing about that process is that the three of us are down to try anything and everything. Like, there'll be a song and we'll say, oh, this might be cool if we add a bunch of strings to it, and then we do that and it's terrible and we take it out and that's that.
Yeah,
that last tune we played, it's called Heartbreak, and James's dad laid down a bunch of clarinets.
Yeah, there's six-part clarinet sort of just like arrangement underneath that song. That's like not very prominent in the live like track version of it, but in the recording you can tell. And yeah, so like in place of, because the first like version we did of it was
synths, right?
Was like a, yeah, we used like synths. We used like a Moog sub fatty for the bass synth, and it was like pretty abrasive. And then we were like, what if we use a bass clarinet? Because my dad has one of those. So yeah, it was, and that's another advantage of like not having to like pay for studio time. We just had to pay for rent. So it's like
you can add bass clarinets.
We can do whatever we want, whenever we want. I mean, the number of hours we spent doing the album, like, would have cost a lot in an actual studio.
Tens of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
literally, yeah.
Yeah, this could have never existed in an actual studio, like where we had a time deadline. Mm-hmm. We definitely set the date deadline, and that was essential, but otherwise. I mean, we would drop songs for a month and then come back to them. And yeah. That kind of thing. Yeah.
I mean, sometimes they need that. They need to incubate a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm curious about y'all's musical background, because with the level of arrangements and some of the things I'm hearing in the music, like there's dream pop in there, but there's definitely like some jazz and some classical and things like that happening as well. How did you all come up musically?
Jazz and classical.
Yeah.
Yeah. My dad's we mentioned he played on the song. He's like a pretty, like, in our hometown, Youngstown, we're all from Youngstown. And my dad is like a pretty prolific jazz saxophone player in Youngstown. So I grew up with that. I started playing sax first, pretty much my first instrument, when I was like 7 or 8. So
nice.
That jazz background went all the way up through high school and like into college a bit. And now I don't do it as much. But because, I don't know, I did a lot of it and I was like, I enjoyed it and I want to move on to something else. And that's not to say I won't ever like play saxophone or jazz music again, but...
This is what you're doing right now.
This is what I'm doing right now. So that was like a thing I did for many years. And these two have their own like similar thing.
Yeah. My parents aren't musically inclined. They're great, but they're not musically inclined. I don't know. I did jazz band all throughout high school. And then I studied with a really great jazz drum teacher at Ohio State for 3 years. Yeah, that was it. I like jazz, but I kind of chose to back out of it. This kind of music has always been definitely more what I've enjoyed, but there's really not a school for it, so you go to school for jazz.
I was going to say, many of the really good rock drummers I know started with jazz training, and it really has made them more versatile. So I could tell watching you play, I was like, oh yeah, he's got jazz training.
Yeah, pretty much all from my teacher. He's really, really great. That was pretty much it.
Nice.
Mine is... Well, let me think how to start. So my dad and my sister are pretty awesome cellists. I played the violin since I was 5, so heavy classical up until high school. And then I kind of got into the bass, then went to school for it for a year for upright. And then also for jazz, and kind of had the same realization that Joe had where wasn't really for me. And that's kind of the thing. I don't know why I said that, but yeah. Okay.
It's so interesting with your collective musical training. I'm sure that you know, has served you well, not just in being able to create these really beautiful arrangements for these songs, but also to have that sort of commonality, not just a common musical language, but the commonality to be able to communicate to each other as musicians, you know, through your training in jazz and classical. Has that helped you guys kind of be you know, better band colleagues and more efficient writers, to sort of have that training as the backbone?
I think so. Yeah, I don't know.
Mixed about opinions.
A lot of our favorite artists have no training.
Mm-hmm.
I think we all see the value in both sides.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have the right mix of knowing some of the theory and technique,
mm-hmm.
but kind of just enough so that we can play whatever we want. Right?
Yeah,
that's pretty much it. Like we don't really go in there and set chord progressions and that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
I think that
for me, that was something that I was stuck in, like, when I started writing songs, like, in high school or whatever, was just, like, what's this chord progression going to be? How am I going to structure this, like, form-wise? I took, like, AP music theory in high school. I was really into that side of it at the time,
mm-hmm.
and I was
mm-hmm.
just always thinking of how am I going to fit this into this thing? And then when I started writing with them, specifically on this album, it was a lot more experimental in terms of, like, we have a rough, like, structure for a song, and we'll just add parts that make sense sonically rather than, like, I don't know, like, rather than in terms of theory. Or, like, even if Joe had just, like, a drum groove and they had, like, a bass line, I could, like, on the flip side of that, still come up with chords that fit within that, which I feel like was the instance on a couple things.
Yeah.
I think Joe and I, in terms of like our writing style, it's more loop based, you know what I mean? Like where we'll just try and really get a section. I don't know.
I have like no music theory training. I'm really bad at it. I took it in college and I failed it. So when I start to write a song, I literally just throw my hands at the keyboard.
Nice.
Most of the time it's like really bad, but every once in a while I'll get a cool chord progression that ends up working.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, some of the coolest synth stuff is you. So.
Yeah. Cause I mean, well that also just plays into like Nate said earlier, like some of our favorite bands, like don't have like musical training of any kind. It plays into that idea of just like you're wanting to just express this like raw musical, like I want to make music, but I don't know how, but I just want to do it anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that has its merits, especially in like when you know what you want the end product to sound like, but you don't necessarily know how to get there. You can come up with some really cool things along the way.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of our songs landed somewhere along that line, like where we were like, we know sort of what we want this to sound like, and then when we couldn't figure it out, we'd come up with something that we thought was cooler, and then it. I don't know.
I mean, we're not adverse to, you know, theory-based writing at all. Mm-hmm. It's just not fun for us. So
hey, that's fair.
Yeah.
You gotta find what works best for you.
Yeah,
honestly.
For sure.
We're talking to Ghost Soul Trio. Their new album is coming out March 12th, and folks can celebrate with you all on March 15th. Tell us about who's going to be joining you on stage at the Basement in Columbus.
We've got two openers. Both are like really awesome local bands who we've made friends with and who we've like seen play and been impressed with. The first band of the night is called The Raquels. They're like a like 80s synth pop kind of, but like a more modern take on like 80s synth pop band. And then the band after that is called Playing to Vapors, and they're a bit more like, I guess not math rock, but they've got some like math rock influence with,
is it like a mix of math rock and indie rock
and like indie synth rock kind of stuff. They're really good.
They're
super awesome, and we're really excited for the whole thing.
very nice. And so kind of moving forward, as we head into warmer weather, you'll have the album out.
Yes.
Is the hope to get out on the road a little bit this summer
if possible? We've seen like a spike in, like, since we've been putting out the new singles, we've seen some growth in our like Spotify and Apple Music like streaming numbers, and we can like through that see what cities were being played in the most.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been kind of like just starting to talk about like, oh, these cities, like we've seen some outreach from like potential new fans in these cities, we should maybe go there. So it'll be, you know, we would like to, yeah. It's just like not anything we've like really dug into yet, but yeah, we probably will.
Sweet. All in its own time, right?
Yeah.
It'll happen when it needs to.
Yeah.
Well, in the meantime, you can go see Ghost Soul Trio on March 15th in Columbus at the Basement. It's their album release show. The album comes out on the 12th, and they've got a new single out this week. We've got links up to the show and to connect with them at facebook.com/kaleidoscope radio. And I think, guys, that we're ready to do some more live ones. I'm going to give these guys a chance to get their instruments on and remind you that you're listening to Kaleidoscope here on 91.3 WYSO. Our guests are Ghost Soul Trio. They're getting ready to release their new album that is out officially on the 12th. And you can celebrate with them on the 15th. All the details online, but don't go running off to the internet just yet. These guys have some more live music for you. You can take it away whenever you are ready.
All right. This one we're about to play is the single we're releasing tomorrow. It's the last single before the album, and it's called Circles. And I'm going to need 1 second because I need to turn my headphones up. Actually, could I just get more vocals in the ears? I think that would be enough.
We'll make it happen.
Thank you. Check, 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 check. Check, 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 check. Amazing. Thank you. This song's called Circles.
Thank you.
lights. I walk in place while the ground moves. Nothing matters in the frame when time slows in floor blooms. Violet tinted pictures, and when the walls grow cheap, and I can hear them speak about the futures I've been missing. But when they crown their kings, maybe I'd rather be on the side I don't believe. Now I'm facing off with who I'll never be again. Check the box for everything I thought I never said. See it closer if you push up against the glass. Thought you had it, now you're trying to let it pass. Gold pours in from behind the door. Paint the ceiling with the rest of the memories I had before. Now I'm falling into another endless night when I can see a light in every color slowly pushing me closer to the edge, a place I've never been. Today. Now I'm facing off with who I'll ever be again. Check the box for everything I thought I never said. See it closer with your push up against the glass. Thought you had it, now you're trying not to let it pass.
Oh,
you on it, and I told you that I'd mean it, and I'd tell you if I could why I never saw the reason. You said that you want it, and I told you that I'd mean it, and I'd tell you if I could why I never saw the reason. To live up to all my ways,
Ghost Soul Trio live on Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WYSO. Their new album comes out March 12th with a new single coming tomorrow, in fact. And yes, you can celebrate the release with them on March 15th at The Basement in Columbus. We have all the details at facebook.com/kaleidoscoperadio. Go there, connect with these guys, get your hands on the album, and go see them live. You guys, such a pleasure. Thank you so much for being here, and congratulations on the forthcoming release.
Thank you. We had a great time.
Thanks. Check out Ghost Soul Trio, all the details on the new album and how to connect with them at facebook.com/kaleidoscoperadio.
Sinking the sun, you've covered me.